Okay, so moving on to agenda paper 9 and...
Yes.
Ken?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. We will move on to agenda paper 9, which analyzes feedback on the proposed amendment to IFAS 3 and IFAS 11, previously held interest. 67 respondents commented on the proposals. We received general support for the proposed amendment. We have split the feedback into that which we view as the main issues for discussion outlined in the main body of the paper and the other issues noted in appendices A to C. We will discuss each issue and ask if you agree with our recommendation before moving on to the next question. We will first discuss two issues that relate to both sets of amendments. The first issue, common issue one, related to scope of the timing of the project. Paragraphs 19 to 21 explain the concerns, and our analysis is outlined in paragraphs 22 to 26. The feedback has not provided any new information that the committee did not consider when it decided upon the transaction to address as part of this project. So we think the board should not change the scope of the proposal. We also think that board should not defer finalizing the amendment to IFAS 11 until it undertakes its PIR of IFAS 11. The proposed amendment to IFAS 11 clarify existing requirements in IFAS 11, and we see no reason not to finalize these clarifications. We will now move to the second issue, common issue two. One respondent questioned whether the rationale for the proposed amendment to IFAS 3 is consistent with the rationale for the IFAS 11 amendment. Paragraph 28 to 31 summarizes the concern, and our analysis is in paragraph 32 to 34. The proposed amendment to IFAS 3 and IFAS 11 are clarifying in nature and are based on existing principles and requirements in these standards. We think that these proposed amendments are not inconsistent. Accordingly, we recommend no change to the proposed amendment in this respect. Now, I would like to direct your attention to question 1 on page 8 and question 2 on page 10 and ask if you agree with our recommendation on these issues.
Questions 1 and 2. Everyone's tired? We're happy? No? Tony?
Back on question 1, comfortable with the proposal to make, or the, with the recommendation to make no changes to the proposed scope of the amendments to IFRS 3. I guess when it gets on to IFRS 11, I just wonder whether, given that the PIR is going to happen relatively shortly and we actually deferred a number of other questions around stepping up and stepping down previously, I guess I'd probably be inclined to defer putting these changes through until we understand what's going to happen with the PIR. I just think it runs the risk of making a change and then finding that there's another change.
Even though we're just now proposing amendments following the IFRS 8 post-implementation.
I should say nothing about timeliness.
Reality is a standard setting. John.
I agree with the staff recommendation on both questions 1 and question 2. I'm going to do acknowledge the timing of the PIR, but I think the other amendment is out there. I think we should just proceed. This clarification, I think, is... will be most welcome. So I agree. I think, I mean, the PIR might end up in a different place, it might not, but I think we should proceed.
Thank you. Others happy? Okay, people are nodding.
Just one small point. I'm genuinely content.
As opposed to. No shit.
I'm standard setting happy.
Put a smile spectrum.
grateful for everyone supporting that. Only thing that I wondered that there might be a little bit of additional thought on is the question of moving from a joint operation to having control. Because while I appreciate there are the references to BC 384 in IFRS 3, BC 384 rather predated IFRS 11. And so there was more of a concept for moving from a single line item investment to a grossed up balance sheet with control in assets and liabilities, compared with going from a joint operation where you have joint control of an interest in partial bits of line items going to control over bits of line items. Now, I don't disagree with the assertion that that's a significant economic event. It's just I think we should be careful to make sure we cover that and ensure that we make the distinction so that it's dealt with maybe in the BC.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody else content?
Generally.
Yeah, generally.
All right,
so we will now discuss one issue that related to specifically to IFRS 3 amendment. Some respondents asked the board to clarify what previously held interest refers to. As outlined in paragraph 36 of this paper, some say that the remeasurement requirement should be applied to the individual assets and liabilities relating to the joint operation. On the other hand, some say that the remeasurement requirement should be applied to the overall interest in the joint operation, which could include goodwill and any unrecognized intangible assets. Our analysis of this concern is outlined in paragraph 37 to 39 of the paper. We think an entity remeasures the individual assets and liabilities relating to the joint operation that it had recognized immediately before it obtains control. We recommend no significant change to the proposed amendment in this respect. Nonetheless, we will clarify how entity applies the remeasurement requirement when drafting the final amendment. I would like to direct your attention to question 3 on page 11 and ask if you agree with our recommendation.
I'm not entirely convinced of the staff's proposal that you remeasure only those assets and liabilities that you had reflected in your balance sheet as the joint operator, as opposed to remeasuring the identifiable assets and liabilities associated with the joint operation, because I think if you only remeasure the assets and liabilities that you have in your balance sheet, you do your purchase accounting equation, you're going to end up with, I think, negative goodwill relating to those identifiable assets that you don't have on your balance sheet, such as, I don't know, customer lists or whatever. And there's also the issue with respect to goodwill. And I think we'd end up with a different kind of a remeasurement as compared to what you would perhaps have in other circumstances. So I think that's an area that is worthy of more exploration by the staff in terms of what does remeasuring previously held interest mean? As I say, I'm not convinced it's only the assets and liabilities that you previously had on your balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you. Bruce.
I pretty much looked at it, and I guess the only concern I had around issue 3 was pretty much on the guidance around the remeasurement. I guess I felt a bit that the issue that had been raised in terms of where you apply it, I was pretty much saying, but I wasn't convinced that it was that clear cut. And I guess the concern I had was if we don't address it now, it's just going to come back to us at some point. So my suggestion was also that we address it.
So I'll just add one point to be helpful, I suppose, in terms of our recommendation. I suppose we were recommending that we would address it. I think what maybe Ryan, so we were saying that when, at least what we'd recommend, to, if you agreed with us, what we were recommending would be included, that the final amendment would clarify that when you are remeasuring your previously held interests, what you're remeasuring is what you, okay. You know, the identifiable assets and liabilities that you had recognized. I think maybe what Reinhardt said is at least, he thinks there's at least one other, you know, more than one way you might do that, and maybe it needs to be, you know, fleshed out a bit more.
Yeah, that's a personal.
Sean.
Yeah, similar point to Reinhardt. I mean, I think there's three ways to look at the remeasurement. There's three things you could remeasure. There's the recognised assets and liabilities of the joint operations. There's the identifiable net assets and liabilities, or there's the actual unit itself, the business or of the joint operation, which would including goodwill. I'm not sure that. I mean, I wouldn't have thought it was just the recognised assets and liabilities. I could sort of see arguments for both the identifiable assets and liabilities, but ignoring goodwill. My personal view would be include goodwill, because we're sort of talking about this being a business, so if there's goodwill in it, that should be part of the remeasurement. I think if it's identifiable net assets, it probably doesn't make much difference. You either end up with a discount on acquisition, or you end up with a remeasurement gain. They both end up in the P&L, so it may not make, I haven't sort of worked through all the mechanics, but it may not make much difference. But I think it would make a difference if you actually remeasure on the basis of the operation itself, and there is goodwill as part of that, because I think that would be included in a remeasurement gain, and you know, wouldn't necessarily flow through the P&L if you didn't pick it up. So I'm not, you know, the identified assets and the recognised assets and liabilities is probably the least of the preferable of those three that I would have thought from a remeasurement perspective, because I don't think it reflects the economics. You know, there may be assets and liabilities that have been built up in the joint operation which weren't part of, we didn't meet the recognition criteria, but in a business combination they would be recognised. It seems to me they should be part of the remeasurement. The question about goodwill, I think, probably needs more exploration.
I mean, I think if it's helpful at this stage to respond, because I think that, by the way, you're absolutely right to say, I think there's, you know, I think there's at least more than one way to think about it, which was highlighted in the comments. I suppose just to explain where, I suppose, or thinking was behind the recommendation, and as I suppose we were, in thinking about it, we, I suppose, focused quite a lot on almost the definition of a joint operation and what your interests are in a joint operation. So that was our starting point, to think that by definition, if you had an interest in a joint operation, what we're saying then you had is that you don't have a sort of an interest in the overall sort of net position of this joint arrangement. You were very much saying that your interests were, you directly had sort of individual assets and individual liabilities related to the arrangement. So that kind of started. That's not to say, I think you're right to say that doesn't mean, but I think that was sort of a strong focus behind or recommendation. And the other thing, at least in the back of our mind, was whether I think that if you, I suppose I was going to say that joint operations can sometimes come in different shapes and sizes. So I think that what you talk about is if the joint arrangement is somehow, sorry, the joint operation, I should say. The joint operation that you previously held the interest in, obviously by definition, if you're obtaining control of this situation, it's a business, but if you're thinking about it being a business beforehand, And you picture that it's one where, say, Reinhardt and I have a 50% interest in this thing that's operating as a business, then at least I can see, you know, if you went to saying I'm going to remeasure, you know, the entire interest that might include unrecognized, say, intangibles or goodwill, that possibly doesn't seem difficult. I just didn't know, when thinking about all the various ways the joint operations could be structured, whether at least being clear that what you're remeasuring is what you had previously recognised might not at least be quite clearly understandable, given that, you know, the way joint operations work and how your interests work could take different shapes and sizes.
Just one comment. I mean, I think the argument that it's not a unit and you've got interest in individual assets and liabilities, I think would be the argument I would use to support not including goodwill in the remeasurement, but I don't think that argument works for other identifiable assets, because I do have an interest in other identifiable assets that are unrecognised. I've got the same interest in those as I have in the recognised ones.
Mm. So. And I think it's helpful to your point, I think that at least we did quickly work through, well, when does it matter in a sense? And I think the time when it would really, when it potentially would matter, is where there is any significant amount of goodwill in the business. Because in that case, it's the case where you could get a different amount recognised, you know, so a different gain recognised and a different amount of goodwill recognised. Whereas if there isn't any sort of positive goodwill in a sense in the business you're acquiring, then I think it ultimately wouldn't make any difference.
I think
the overall interest approach is more appropriate than the only asset and liability approach, and since the joint operations could have many kind of things or many tangible or intangible assets or liabilities would come with it, and this fairly difficult for us to say what's included or what's not. So at least our current wording should not exclude those other than the already recognized assets and liabilities. We should leave it open at least to think about, or we should say not to, not only to, I just say we should consider the other kind of interests. Of course, if they want to recognize those intangibles or goodwills, they should have backups or reasons to recognize and the total measurement. So we should close the door by saying only two.
Okay, so it sounds like the committee is recommending we do some more work. So is that work that we do that is then shown to the board? Is that sort of what the next step is? Or
So I think that what you've said, we acknowledge, by the way, that more than what's written in these two paragraphs in the paper, it would probably be helpful for anyone to make a decision. So I acknowledge that the paper probably doesn't give you enough to reach a decision on this one, given those different places to be. If it made sense, then what we might do on this one is then not ask you to vote on it, but acknowledging the conversation here, when we take this overall forward to the board, we flesh out this particular topic and talk about those three different possibilities that we talked about here, laying out, you know, what's the consequences of going one route or the other, and then get the board actually to reach a decision. If that makes sense.
Sorry, just one comment. I mean, I think in setting that out, even though there might be no difference between two of those approaches, I think characterising something as a gain on discount versus a remeasurement gain is different economically, because really what it is, it's a holding gain from holding the interest in the joint operation, not a gain, not a discount that arises on the transaction. So the P&L impact might be the same, but the characterisation of the economics is very different.
All right.
Okay. So we will move to an issue relating to the IFRS 11 amendment on the significance of obtaining joint control over a joint operation. Paragraph 41 summarizes the concern, and our analysis is in paragraphs 42 to 44. The feedback has not provided any new information that the committee did not consider in reaching its conclusion. Accordingly, we recommend no change in this respect. I would like to direct your attention to question 4 on page 13 and ask if you agree with our recommendation.
Generally
contained. Okay, so last issue. We will now move on to the analysis of other issues raised by respondents. The appendices to this paper summarizes these issues together with our related recommendations. I would like to direct your attention to question 5 on page 13 and ask if you agree with the recommendation on the issues outlined in the appendices to this paper.